Flashcast. Better. Faster. Less time.
Another Flashcast from the Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. No, this is not the third part of the series, The Fall, yet. You should be getting that one in a few days. I held back because while I looked at it, some additional information surfaced. So this show is centered on what is happening in what I call the shift, which we have been in and continue to experience. And we're going to look at some other things as well. The book of Hebrews gives us a glimpse of the dynamics of the present time. It's found in the 12th chapter, which will actually relate to part of what we're going to talk about, the number 12. And it says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." It contrasts there Moses and Jesus, "whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but also heavens." And this word, "yet once more," signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." I think that if you look carefully at the world around you right now, what you see are the things that are being shaken. The political system, the economic system, the system of men around the world is being tested, and there is stressing evident in all the things that you see around you. We see people falling on their faces right now, tripping over their own shoelaces. One of the events that we see prominent in the national news here in the U.S. and even internationally, because this was brought to my attention last night in an interview I did with a guest for the Off Planet show, who talked about what's going on at Penn State University, which is actually in the area where I live here. I live in the cradle of Penn State University. The scandal that's occurred there is symptomatic of the system itself falling apart. This is a top-rated national collegiate football team, Big Ten, who has, within a period of less than 5 days, been exposed for what it actually is. Now, the story itself of the pedophilia that was occurring at Penn State through a former assistant coach is not a new story. It's actually a story that's almost 14 years old. It's a story that's been known in certain circles for a long time. It's simply a story that took on a lot of speed as the grand jury was doing an inquiry into this in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, opened up the indictment against the former assistant coach. And what cascaded down took down the president of the university and head coach Joe Paterno. What was really going on in the backdrop is nothing new. This is the satanic system. Pedophilia, on the scale that you see it at Penn State, practiced as it was in front of leadership, is part of the satanic system. It's part of the system that fuels the ongoing quest for wealth and success and fame, not only on the collegiate level, not only in the sports area, but entertainment as well. And as one listener pointed out, it was kind of ironic that in the last Flashcast, I talked a little bit about
football.
Well, I have nothing against sports. I have nothing against football. I have nothing against enjoying a football game, much as I don't have a problem enjoying a rock concert. The problem is that the system itself is fueled satanically by the blood of innocents. The compromising of innocent children is one of the key indicators of a satanic system. It's telling that in the taking down specifically of Coach Joe Paterno, Mr. Paterno, with a long record of ignoring this problem, walked away from the announcement of his firing, saying that he felt that he had been rather poorly treated for 39 years of his life, contributing to the prestige of Penn State University's football program. That in itself was a statement that belies the spirit underneath it all. The entire university system at Penn State University did not take upon themselves the moral responsibility to look out for innocent children who were being brutalized and sexually assaulted by a man who was in a high authority position. The leadership of the university from the top down failed to ever take notice until it was thrust in their face by a grand jury indictment. The president of the university, the regents of the university, every person is complacent. What played out in the national scene last night, which is November 9th, 2011, were thousands of students rioting in the streets of State College, Pennsylvania, otherwise known as Happy Valley. It's a very dark place. And for all the people who did not riot, those thousand or so students who were doing massive amounts of destruction and disruption, frame the whole picture by the spirit of what goes on at a place like Penn State University. It is a macrocosm. It is a snapshot picture of the world at large. It is to the shame of everyone involved that they failed to be morally responsible and that they put their own success and the prestige of the university, the success of the football team, and the literally millions of dollars that flow through there, through the football program, at a higher level than the innocent lives of 9 and 10 year old boys. It is symptomatic of the system at large that we value success on an external scale while ignoring the spiritual value of one human soul. Mr. Paterno's parting remarks take away everything that he ever accomplished on the football field, because the real test in Mr. Paterno's life was that one moment when he could have stood up, taken responsibility, become a champion for a child who's now in his early 20s, and said the buck stops here. No leadership. We see it in the government. We see it in the churches. We see it in the political system. We see it in corporate America. And America and the world itself are caught in the fires of a world which doesn't give a damn about the innocents and never bothers to stand up for what's morally right at the expense of their own well-being. We're going to talk about 11-11-11, that being tomorrow as I'm recording this, and today for many of you who will hear it, or who will hear it in the days to come. It doesn't matter, because we're out of time. Literally out of time. Literally, we are, if we are moving into the spiritual realm, not part of the time stream anymore. 11-11-11 is being marked by any number of groups as a spiritual landmark moving toward the 2012 scenario. I don't adhere to any such strict timekeeping, but I do sense that we are entering into an acceleration of events. Things we will see play out on the prophetic landscape, and other events which will be entirely personal or localized to our own personal spheres of existence. 11-11, like all dates, are rooted in the linear mind of 3D space-time. This is not a criticism, but to point out that linearity is part of the passing paradigms of the age we are now closing. The next age is multidimensional. It's instantaneous, and it's rooted in the unconscious dream realm mind of 5D constructs, the fifth dimension. This is the world in which miracles occur, where what is called the third heaven, or the third day, in the New Testament scriptures exists. It is the realm of the original Edenic creation. Time is an invention of human consciousness after the fall of the Adamites. In effect, it's a condition placed upon material beings and objects to prevent the creatures who, knowing good and evil, do not now ascend into a godlike state where, in higher realms, they would tend toward chaotic creations like those of the fallen ones. For the last 400 years, we've been rooted in a consciousness that's grounded in the mechanical universe of Newton, Leibniz, and Boyle's, the theoreticians who gave us the foundations for the Industrial Revolution, along with rationalism and imperialism as our philosophical grid. Einstein in the 20th century bridged the Newtonian age into the era of modern technology, but we still remain rooted in a largely linear, rational, mechanistic worldview. Quantum physics is likewise a bridge. It's based on the early 20th century work of Werner Heisenberg, Erwin Schrödinger, and Max Planck. Our worldview is now less linear, but still rooted in particle physics, subatomic mechanics, wave and string theories. They're all wonderful ideas, but still far from the 5D consciousness that we will see emerge in the new age. 5D is the shift into unlimited, non-dimensional existence that could be called the kingdom of God. It is the merging of consciousness into the spiritual realms of creation engines. All of this now seems fantastic, largely because we are cloaked in the human biology. Yet some of you sense that we are part of a larger consciousness that has unlimited potentials beyond this biological habitation and order. This is the existence of the ancient masters, the avatars, the gods of mythology. It is the domain expressed by Jesus as the kingdom of heaven. The human race, with all its attendant flaws and follies, was placed in time in 3D space as a school, so to speak, where we were all given choices and limitations. These limitations are artificial, but they're still very real due to our conditioning by the cultures in which we are born and raised. Consider that the idea of something so small as healing is still considered to be a miracle, much less the fact that we could, in fact, raise a person from the death state. Consider that we still do not grasp the multiplication of elements. Yet, Jesus fed thousands on a few baskets of fishes and bread. Consider that we see in our lives a limited time span of years, and we then perish to await some eternal reward or punishment. But the ascension pattern of Jesus was of resurrection and reappearance back into the physical plane, then ascension into the 5D realms called the heavenlies. It seems that we have missed the bigger scope of what we were supposed to learn from this Messiah. 11-11 is just another day for most people. It's said to be a pre-coded trigger placed on our cellular memory banks prior to our descent into matter, which, when activated, signifies that our time of completion and ascension is near. It is believed that one knows when this particular gateway opens for them by continually seeing the numbers 11-11 in their everyday lives as a continuous occurrence. Activation of other gateways may be symbolized by other digits. The 11-11 series is the beginning of a completion cycle. 11 is one digit short of 12, the perfect biblical number of the tribes, the disciples, the apostles, the 12 thrones spoken of by Jesus, the square root of 144, which when perfected numerically becomes 144,000. There are 12 stars around the head of the woman in the wilderness in Revelation 12:1, and 144 square cubits of the New Jerusalem with 12 gates, 12 fountains, and 12 angels. 11, 11, 11 is the number of becoming. Right now, all things are becoming. As I stated in the show The Shift, which I put out on 11-17-2010, shades of gray are fading. All things are moving to contrast. Black and white, dark and light, good or evil. It's Isaiah 60. Darkness, gross darkness, and yet the light arising. 11 is incomplete. 11 is the number of apostles at Pentecost, after Judas is exposed and dies. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is called the faith chapter, wherein the record is given of the great cloud of witnesses. And that chapter ends noting this, quote, "And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." That's Hebrews 11. 39 and 40. 11-11-11 is the portal towards the coming tide of changes on the earth. Will it be 2012 or 2014 or 2020? We are in time and space for a purpose. Who knows that you were not born for such a time as this, or put in the modern vernacular, you were born for this time. Look again at that last verse of Hebrews 11. It's very telling that they without us should not be made perfect. We are the pieces of faith that complete the ages. The generations before us are completed by our presence and our willingness to stand in faith, the portal of a new age. The generations flow forward and backward in a time stream. We complete the work of the fathers and mothers before us and open the door for generations to come. I'm going to end this narrative with the Gospel of Thomas 1:11, which reads, "And Jesus said, the heavens and the earth will be rolled up in your presence, and one who lives from the living one will not see death. Does not Jesus say, whoever finds himself is superior to the world?" Think about these things on 11/11/2011. This is a flashcast from the Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. The truth is out there. It's inside you. The kingdom begins with your perfection.
Hope to watch the victory dance in the evening.